We begin the current daf in Sechtes Kedushin daf Chof. We begin 13 lines down for the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from our previous Mishnah, where the Mishnah was discussing the halachas of an Eved Ivri. So our Gemara continues explaining certain parashias in the parasha of Eved Ivri. So the Tanna Rabban, the Gemara opens up with the Braisa. The Pasuk says in Shemais, in parasha Mishpatim, it says, "In begapa yavoi, begapa yetze." It says that if he comes begapai, which is translated by with his gapai, his guf, then he goes out with his body. So that's what the Talikam explains. Begufay nichnas, begufay yetze. He comes into the slavery with his body, and he leaves with his body, which the Gemara later on is going to explain what exactly is the Talikam saying. What is this halacha? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Eimer, he gives a different interpretation to the Pasuk. He says, yichidi nichnas, yichidi yetze. He comes in as a single person when he becomes a slave, as an Eved Ivri, and he leaves as a single person. And again, the Gemara is going to explain also what is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's halacha saying. So first the Gemara explains the Tanna Kamma. My begufei nechnas begufei yetzi. What does this mean? What are you interpreting in the Pasuk that it says the Eved Ivri comes in with his body and leaves with his body? What is that halacha? So Amar Rava explains, Laima that's coming to say, she'eina yetzi birashi evarm ke'eved. He does not leave from slavery the way an Eved Kenani leaves. An Eved Kenani, if any one of the 24 tips of his limbs get cut off, then he goes free. That is not the case by an Eved Ivri, where it's saying that he leaves with his body, in other words, not that by the Eved Kenani he leaves with not his body intact, that's how he leaves. By the Eved Ivri, he leaves with his body intact. He doesn't leave by the fact of his body's not being intact. Now, on that, the Gemara asks Amalei Abaya, he says, Hahu meleisetzi ketzesa avadam nafka. That we learn out, as we mentioned this in the previous daf, we learn this out from a different pasuk. It says explicitly that the Eved Ivri, the Am Ivri, does not leave the way a non-Jewish slave leaves, which is obviously saying this point. They leave by Rashi Avarm, by the tops of the limbs, by the tooth being knocked out, by the eyes being blinded, whereas that's not the case by the Eved Ivri. So why do you need Begapa Yav and Begatze Yetze to say that halacha? So that explains Rava, Imi Hasam, if he only had the pasuk of Leisetze, Havamina, I would have thought to say that what does it mean that he doesn't go out with the tip of his limbs that are cut off like an Eved Kenani, which an Eved Kenani leaves but doesn't get even compensation for that damage. I would have thought to say, but by an Eved Ivri, meaning he's not like the Eved Kenani, rather Nesiv Le Dmei Enev, of course he does leave by the Rashi Vam like the Eved Kenani, but he doesn't leave like the Eved Kenani because he gets compensated for it. That's what Rabbi says, you need begapa yav and begapa yetzi, an extra pasuk to say that there actually is no halacha of leaving by losing the tip of one of a person's limbs, because he comes in with his body, he leaves with his body, he doesn't leave by being deficient in his body, unlike an Eved Kenani. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we brought a diff, that was interpreting the Tanna Kamma's interpretation. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said a different interpretation in begapa yav and begapa yetzi. He learns yichidi nichnas yichidi yetze. Not that he comes in with his body and he leaves with his body. Rather, he came in only with his singular, his self. He leaves himself. So the Gemara asks, ma yichidi yetze? What is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov saying? What does it mean he leaves by himself? So Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok, he says, hachikama. This is what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying. In other words, he interpreted the pasuk begapai, the same like the Tanna Kamma, it means begufa, with his body. But he explains it, meaning just like only his body enters into slavery, so that's exactly how he's leaving, just himself. In other words, yesh lo isha banam, if he comes into the slavery with a wife and kids, then Rabbi Moshe lo, then the master could forcefully give him a shifcha kananis, a non-Jewish maidservant, because he wants to be able to have children that will be more slaves, and they go after the mother. Ein lo isha banam, what this pasuk is teaching is, if this is a single man who's coming into slavery, doesn't have a wife and kids, then ein Rabbi Moshe lo shifcha kananis, then halacha of giving the Jewish slave a shivcha kananis does not apply, because that's what we're learning out from begapa yav and begapa yetze. If he came in only with his guf, with his own self, not with a wife and kids, then begapa yetze, he leaves by himself. In other words, he has not fostered more children by having the shivcha kananis, because it only applies to a married man with children. Again, those are two different interpretations, as we explained, of this braisa. Now the Gemara continues with another braisa on these halachas, specifically regarding Giroi and Kesef, the topic of the prorated amount that the Eved Ivri has left on his contract, for how much he has to work towards the rest of the 6 years. If he already worked 3 years, he has 3 years left, he starts prorating how much he would have to pay to make his way out. So it's regarding this that the Gemara brings the following braisa. Tanna Rabban, the braisa. Nimker b'mana. If an eved ivri was sold for the value of a mana, which is 100 zuz. V'hishbiach v'omen al-masayim. Then he goes up in price. He got stronger as a slave. He has a real regimen now. He used to be a lazy guy. Now he's actually worth 200 zuz. So what he was, the value of his 6 years of work was evaluated when he was sold for 100 zuz. Now actually in the middle of his being a slave, it went up, his value went up to 200 zuz. Says the Braisa, minayin she'im mechashman lo'i, how do we know that when he's coming to do this giroyin, to pay his way out and redeem himself, that we don't calculate it according to what it's, his value is right now? I mean, 3 years left, oh, you went up in value now, you want to pay your way out? It's a much higher price gauge right now. And that says the Braisa, how do you know that it's actually, we only calculate elamana? We only calculate according to what it was originally when he was sold for the 6 years, where he only has to give for every year a sixth of a mana. And according to every year, it goes down another sixth from the amount. So if you have 1 year left, he only has to give a sixth of the mana. And we don't say, oh, but you went up in value, either because the work became more valuable or he got stronger and now he's worth 200. So maybe you would say, calculate according to 200, how much it is according to the work of the sixth year, and he would have to actually give a third of a mana, because it's actually doubled now. How do we know that we don't? We only go according to what his lower value was when he was sold. Shnemak, it says in the Pasuk, Mikesev Miknasai. The Pasuk that talks about the redemption, meaning im oid rabis b'shanim lefin yashab gulasai, he starts calculating how much he has left. Mikesev Miknasai, which is from the monies from the time when he was purchased. That's what the Pasuk says, yashab gulasai, that's what he has to give back to redeem himself. And that was at a lower value. Now, however, the opposite, says the Braisa, Nimker b'masayim, let's say he was sold for 200. V'hichsef, and then he got lazy, he started putting on weight, and he actually went down in value. V'amad al-mana, now he's actually only worth, his 6 years now in middle changes to only have a value of a mana. Says the Braisa, minayin she'im mechashman lo'i, how do we know that now we don't calculate the remaining years that he has to work? Ela mana, we actually calculate it according to what would be if he would be sold now, not what it was originally when he had purchased it. How do we know that? Now, actually, the Gemara shortly is going to address this question that we seemingly, as the Bryce is bringing, there's a pasuk that says we go after how much it was when it was sold, which the Bryce is interpreting that as a leniency, and then there's going to be a pasuk which recording now says we go after how much he is, what he has left now, which is not what originally was, rather it's now, which the Bryce is also interpreting as a leniency. The Gemara is going to address, why do we say that as leniencies? Maybe we should actually address it as stringencies, and maybe the other way around. But the Braisa says, how do we know that if he went down in value, that we don't calculate according to his original high price, if he wants to pay his way out, we actually only calculate according to his lower price now, Tamalema, because there's another pasuk that says, and this is the pasuk after the previous pasuk, that says, Kifishana, we go according to how many years he has left, not according to what it was Mekesa Meknasai. So therefore, it's going to be at the lower price. Now, says the Braisa, Ainli ele eved hanimka lo'ebe kachavim. I would only know that this halach applies to when the eved ivri is sold to a non-Jew. And because that's the context of the psukim over there. Now, why would I say it would apply only to when he sold to a non-Jew? Because hoyel v'nigal b'krayvim. We know that the psukim talk about the relatives redeeming the Jewish person when he sold to non-Jews, which is not said in the context of when he sold to another Jew. So we see that yodei ala tachtayin, we see that the seller, when he's a non-Jew, has the lower hand, as we see that even other people could redeem him, and actually there's a mitzvah for relatives to redeem him. Nimkali Yisrael Manalan, says the Braisa, how would I know that the same halacha applies even if he's sold to a Jew, which the seller does not have such a lower hand, that we do say that we have these leniencies regarding the Eved Ivri when he wants to pay himself out, if what's lower is the one that he's going to go with? Tamalema, that's what the Braisa teaches, Sachar Sachar L'Gzeri Shava, we have a Gzeri Shava, where it says the word Sachar, a hired hand, by Nimkala Akim. It also says by Nimkala Yisrael. So just like by Nimkala Akim, there is this halacha that if he was higher and went down, you go according to the low one. Or if he was lower than he went up, you go according to the low one. Same thing applies by when he's Nimkala Yisrael, when he's sold to a Jew. Now, so relating to this halacha, this brisa, the Gemara introduces the following discussion that will address this brisa. So the Gemara brings that Abaya said, and when Abaya was in an expansive mood, He would customarily say that Hareini, I am open and prepared to respond to any questions in the Torah, ki ben Azai, like ben Azai was, b'shuki Tveria, in the marketplace of Tveria, where ben Azai lived in Tveria, and he was very sharp and he was a good he would be able to expound on certain things, as the Gemara in Brachas Dafnun Ches Min Aleph says that he said that all the Jewish sages are like a garlic peel in front of me, except Hakerach Hazeh, which is a reference to Rebbe Kiva. So he said, I'm just like Ben Azai when he's a good mood. I can answer any question on the Torah. So the Gemara tells us, Amalehum Rabban Labayis. So one of the rabbis asked Habayah the following question. Mechti, let's see. This is related to the previous brisa. Hanikroi, these two pesukim, and again, they're both in Perchafei, in Vayikra, one's Pasig Nun Alf, one's Pasig Nun Beis. One of them says the word Mekesa Meknase, and one of them says the word of Kefi Shanav. So ask this rabbi to Habayah. It says, Ikali Midrashin Lekulu, these pesukim could be expounded as a leniency, which the brisa does, but you could expand it just as well as a stringency. So therefore the question is, my chazis did the Rishinu L'chumra kula. What did the town of the Brisa see fit to expound them as a leniency? Nidrashinu L'chumra, maybe expound them as a stringency. In other words, to be stringent on the slave, which is actually that if he goes up in value during his slavery, he's going to have to give according to the kefishan of according to the years that he has left, he'll have to pay himself out at the higher price. If he went down in price, that's where the pasuk is that he's going to have to give according to Mekesa Meknase, according to the higher price. One is saying high, one is saying according to what's left, one is saying according to what originally was. Why say it as a leniency? Maybe say it as a stringency. So said Abaya, no, loy sakotaytech. You can't entertain that the interpretation would be as a stringency on the slave. Why? Mida akal rachmanu lagabe, we find a Torah that's very easy and lenient on the slave. So therefore, when we come to interpreting pesukim, it would definitely be leniencies for the slaves. How do we see this? The time like Linda Brisa. Pasuk in Devarim says, and this is regarding how to treat the Eved, so it says, Ki toiv loy imach, because he has it good with you. What does that mean? Imach b'maychel, v'imach b'mishta. The Eved, you have to treat him well with your food and with your drink. What does that mean? Shloy te ata oichel pas nekir. You shouldn't be eating refined bread. V'oichel pas kivra, and he's eating this coarse bread. Ata shoyse yayin yashin. You shouldn't be drinking old, good wine. This is drinking this new wine, which doesn't have that same flavor as the wine. You shouldn't be sleeping on these comfortable pillows, cotton. He's sleeping on straw. From this is where the sages said that whoever purchases a Jewish slave, really is like purchasing a master for himself, because you got to treat the slave better than you. So, therefore, says Abaya, you see how well we treat the slave if it's going to come for his redeeming himself, obviously is a leniency, and therefore that's what we said, whatever the lower price is, that's the one he has to pay. Now, however, on that, the student asked back to Abaya, Ve'ema hanemilil inachil b'shtia, what's your proof? Maybe that price, as we saw, ketov le'imach, is regarding food and drink. Why? That the slave shouldn't be in pain during his duration as a slave. But ha'le'inyin pidyin nachmer alei, but maybe regarding his redemption, we should be stringent on him. From the following halach of Reis Bechanina, where we find that his becoming a slave was only because he had violated certain prohibitions, which is he was suspect regarding the violation of the halachas of Shemitah. And since that's the case, that's what made him into a slave. So good, when he's a slave, we don't want him to be in pain. But getting out of slavery, what brought you in was a sin, and therefore we're going to be stringent on you on getting out of it. The Tanya, like learning the Braisa, where Rabbi Yisrael Rav Chanina Omer, he says, and he illustrates this, what started off the whole thing, which ultimately concluded in his being sold as a slave, started from a violation of halacha of Shemitah. He says as follows, he says, Boyre, come and see, kamakosha avke shel shvias, see how harsh is one of the smallest violations of the halachas of Shemitah, which is called the dust of Shemitah, which is somebody that does business with the produce of Shemitah, which it's not even it's not even a violation. It's just what's called a lava ba machlal lase. It's a negative prohibition that's only inferred from a positive commandment, which is the Torah tells him Yikra Chafei that la'ochli should eat the Shemitah produce, which the inference is la'ochav aloy l'schayr, you should eat it and not do business with it. So again, it's considered from the lightest penalties of lightest violations of Shemitah, and yet says Rabbi Chanina, look how harsh the end result of such a person is going to be. Because Adam Naisiv Naisin Beperis Shvias, somebody does business dealings with the Shemitah produce, which is not allowed. What ends up happening is L'Seif Meichres Metatlov. Ultimately, the penalty he's going to be, he's going to have to end up selling his movable items. How do you know this? Remember, it says the Pasuk in B'Yikra. It says, Bishnas HaYoivol, and says HaZois, on this Yevul year, Teshuvu Ish Al Achazaseh. Everyone should give back the ancestral lands that they had purchased from someone else back to the original owners. So you see, it's Tomat Yevul and the Alachas of Shemitah. Now, B'samechlei, the pasuk near it says, V'chisim Karu. That is, if someone's going to be selling or purchasing what I said is forbidden for you, which is going back on the pasuk before of the Shemitah produce, at the end, you're going to end up selling Memker. You're going to sell your stuff, your items, Lamisecha, to your friend, or purchasing from the hand of your friend. Now, when it says Miyad Misecha, that tells you it's Davar HaNikna Miyad Liyad. What the pasuk in the context is talking about, something that's acquired from hand to hand, which is movable items, which you give from hand to hand. So you see that if you're going to be selling from Shemitah produce, which is just the lowest one, that's just a lava bo machal ase, you're going to end up selling your movable items. Now, says the Braisa even further, loy hirgish, if let's say the person doesn't reflect to realize why these punishments coming to him, why is he have to, it's selling all his movable items, he's selling his car, he's selling all his stuff, to repent and realize that he had sinned regarding selling Shemitah produce. So if he doesn't realize this, it's going to get worse. L'saif mecher esad daisef, then ends up happening, he ends up selling his fields. Shtem, like it says later on in the Pesukim, it says, ki yamach achicha, if your brother becomes poor, umacher machu zasli, and he sells from his ancestral land. So again, it talks about the halachas over there, but we see that that's the next thing that happens. Says the Braisa even more, le'bas le'yadai, he's not going to end up realizing what he had done wrong, atcha mecher es beisei, until he ends up selling not just his fields, but he sells his house. Like it says later on, it says, ki yimkra beis meishav irchayma, when a person sells his house, which is in a walled city. So that's the next step. Now, the Gemara interjects and asks, maishna hasam, why is there a difference when it goes from his selling movable items to selling his field? The Amar lehirgish, where there the Tana says that if he doesn't realize, he doesn't chap, in other words, which sounds like that if he doesn't reflect, that's what's going to end up happening. But it sounds like that he could realize it. But why is it different already starting from after that point when it goes from selling his field to the house and further on the Braisa, where all those terms are said in the way of loibas liyadai, that it's not going to happen, he's not going to realize this until he hits rock bottom, which sounds like that it was obvious to the Tana of the Braisa that that's for sure what's going to end up happening, that he's not going to realize to repent until he gets more and more and more punishments until he's totally, like we see at the end, that he's sold out as a slave. Why does it shift in that terminology? So that thing more explains Kedir Rav Huna. The Amr Rav Huna, like Rav Huna said, Kivin Sha'avra Ad Maveir, once a person sins once, and Vishanaba, and he repeats the sin, Hutraloi, it becomes permitted to him. Now, Hutraloi Saga Daitek, what do you think, that if someone does a sin two times, suddenly it's a permitted thing, it's not a Maveir anymore? Ella, rather, what Rav Huna was saying was, Nasus like a Hatter. It becomes like a permitted thing for him. In other words, after the first time, when he gets the first penalty of that he's selling his movable items, he could still reflect. He only did this in one time, and he got the penalty, and he realizes he could repent. But if he didn't realize, it's going to move on to the next one. But once he did it twice and didn't pay attention, didn't repent, then he's already down the stream. He's not going to realize it because he's already entrenched in this way of this numbing way he's doing through sinning. He's not going to realize until it's all the way to the end, and that's why the Braisa continues with all these terms of le'bas le'yadai. What's going to end up happening is he's going to move to the next step. After he sold his field and he sold his house, achamecher is bita, until he's going to sell his daughter as a slave. Shanam, like it says a pasuk in Shemais, says v'chiyim ker ish is bita la'ama, that when a man sells his daughter as a maidservant. Now, the Gemara explains, v'avagav debita le'ksiva b'hayinyana. Now, although selling one's daughter is not written there, because all these psukim we're explaining, it goes in context of the psukim Vayikra Perek Chafei, where it talks about all these halachas, we see that one after another is what ends up happening. It's like this domino effect. It gets worse and worse and worse and worse. Now, selling one's daughter is not said over there. It's actually in Shemais. So, however, still sells the Gemara, Hakamash Malon, that what the Tana, the Braisa, is teaching is that since the next parsha that we're going to see is the parsha of Ribis, which is having to borrow with interest, that's the one right after selling one's house. Now, we could testify that this guy who ends up having to borrow with interest, he had already for sure tried out selling his daughter as a maidservant, if he had a minor daughter, before he's going to borrow with interest. And that is because Nisben Inish Barate, a person would most definitely first choose to sell his daughter as a maidservant, and he's not going to yet borrow on interest. Now, my time, what's the reason? How do we know, even though it's not written over there, that he for sure did that? because barat de migra v'nafka, at least regarding selling one's daughter, it keeps on diminishing what he owes and owes and owes till she finishes and then she leaves. But v'ha ma'isva v'azla, ribis is a terrible thing to get involved in because actually the interest just keeps on increasing and you get more in debt and more in debt and more in debt. So therefore, everyone realizes that ribis, borrowing on interest, is definitely not something you want to engage in. So he for sure had already tried selling the daughter, and therefore that's for sure we put that in, even though it's not written over there. Now, that's what it says. If he sold his daughter, lebas liyada, it's not going to come to his hand to realize that he had done something wrong with selling Shemitah produce. Achalava beribis, he's going to move on to the next step. He's going to borrow with interest. Shnem, like it says over there later on in the pasuk, again, as we said, because all these parishes are one after another, and each one's getting worse than the one before it, it says, v'chiyamach echicha, that if your brother becomes poor, umata yada imach, and his hand reaches with you, meaning he's destitute. Now, v'samachle, the pasuk says, near there, atikach me'itay v'gemer, don't take from him neshach v'tarbis, don't take interest when you're lending money from him. So you see, because that's the next thing that he's going to come to, he's going to borrow on interest. Says the Gemara, lebas liyada asher meichres atzmei. Now the next thing, it's going to get even worse. He's going to end up selling himself. Shnem, like it says later on, it says, v'chiyamach echicha v'nimkalach, that if your brother becomes poor, and he sells himself to you. Now more than that, says the Braisa, loy lecha el leger. Not only is he going to have to sell himself to a Jew, he's going to sell himself to a convert. Shnem, like it says in the pasuk, which is the next parasha over, which is near this of selling to the Jewish person, it then says, v'chisasek yad ger b'teisha yimach, that if the converts amongst you end up becoming wealthy and affluent, then they're going to actually end up purchasing this Jew as a slave. Shnem, like it says over there, leger, that he sells himself to a convert. Now says even more than that, v'loy leger tzedek. It's not to a righteous convert who accepts to be like a full-fledged Jew. Eliger Toishab. It's for what's called the resident ger, who is not a full-fledged Jew. He just keeps the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, but he eats Nevela and so on. He just doesn't do Avodah Zarah. Shneimar, like the Pasuk there, it says Ger Toishab. Now, more than that, as the Pasuk says, is that he sells himself to Mishpachas Ger. Not to the Ger Toishab himself, but the family of the Ger, who's Zeh Avodah Kachavim. That's to the family of the resident Ger who's keeping the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. His family is not religious, even for the Noahide laws, and they're actually idol worshippers. He gets sold to them. Now, even more than that, the Pasuk says, and this is V'yikah Chafei Mem Zayin, Keshua Imala Eker, when he says that he's sold to the idol, that is, as we continue on Tamad Beis, Zeha Nimka La Avoidis Kachavim Atzma, that the person ends up getting sold as a slave for the idol itself, meaning he's the wood chopper and he takes care of all the needs of their idols. Again, as Rashi says, not to serve the idol, but he's such a low slave that he's the slave that takes care of the idol itself. So that's again, as was pointed out, how harsh is selling Shemitah produce, where it leads all the way down to being sold as a slave and a slave to even to the idol itself. Now, but one thing was, this was the Gemara's question on Abaya, where, so we see that the reason why he sold as a slave is because he had violated a sin. So therefore, we should be stringent on the Eved, because it was a sin that caused him to be sold. So although we're leaning on him as he's a slave to the Jewish person, you got to treat him right, but regarding redemption, maybe the interpretation of the psukim should be as his stringency. Why does the time of the Braisa see fit to interpret it as a leniency? So Amalei, Abai responded to that rabbi, Hasam ha hadrei kra. But in spite of that we see that it was a sin that caused it, we see that the Torah goes back and tell the Jewish people to have mercy on this person, even though it was a sin that caused him to have his downfall. The Tanya de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, like it was taught in the Braisa of the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, says, since we find that this guy went and became like a priest for the idols, meaning he's like a slave and he's like the idol itself he's cleaning up. So it's, I would think that you should throw a stone after the guy who fell, meaning you should totally annihilate this guy, meaning you should never redeem him, let him have his downfall. Tamalema, that's what the Pasuk teaches. Even later it says that Achri Nimkar, after he sold, Gula Tiyalai, there should be redemption for him, which is Echad Me Echad Yigalena, one of his brothers should redeem him. We never throw away another Jew. We have to redeem him. So says Abai, you see that even though it was a sin that caused him, we see that we still have Rachmanas in him, we're still lenient with him, we're still easy with him, and therefore it makes sense that the interpretation of the Psukim should be as a leniency to redeem himself, not as a stringency. But still the Gemara asks, the Ema Gula Tiyalai, maybe, says this Rabbi to Abaya, the reason why the Pasuk says that there should be redemption for him, to redeem him, is only because we don't want him to get assimilated amongst the non-Jews, because if we don't redeem him, he's going to end up staying there and serving the idols and getting lost. But regarding redeeming him, maybe Nachmalev, but maybe when he wants to redeem himself, especially from another Jew, he should require to be actually stringent because it was a sin that caused him to be there, like we said from Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina. So therefore, the Gemara gives a different interpretation of how do we know that these psukim are as a leniency, not as a stringency. Amar Rav Nachman b'Yitzchak. He says, look, Trei Kroi Ksiv. As we mentioned before, there are these two psukim. Ksiv, it says, and this is actually later on in the psukim, it says, Im oid rabbis bashanim. If there's a lot in the years. Uksiv, and the next pasuk after that says, V'im ma'at nishar bashanim. That if there's a little left in the years. Now, what bothers Rav Nachman b'Yitzchak is that the terms rabbis bashanim sounds like that there's a lot in the years. Now, the question is, b'chiyashan merubais, b'yashan me'utais, other latter years, little years, which, as Rashi explains over here, in other words, he says, a slave is sold for a certain amount of years. You can't have more than 6 years, and you don't have less than 6 years. And both psukim are really saying the same concept. They're both talking about redeeming him from the years that he has left. So what does the pasuk mean when it says that if there's rabbis bashanim or ma'at nishar bashanim? So Ella rather says of Nachman Yitzchak, this is what the Pesukim are saying. Nisraba Kaspoy, if his value went up, which is that during those years he increased in value, that's what the first Pasuk is saying, Mikesef Miknosoy, meaning when it's saying Rabbis Bashanim, means to say that there was a rebu, there was an increase in his value, that's what that first Pasuk says, Mikesef Miknosoy. When you're going to calculate his redemption, it's going to be according to the value that it was originally when he was purchased, which was the lower price, which is a leniency. Now, the second pasuk is saying, Nismai Kaspay, but if his value went down during these years, then it's Kefishanav, then you calculate his value according to what his value is according to the years that are left, which is the lower price. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, how do you know that's the interpretation of the psukim? You're bothered by what does it mean, Rabbis Bashanim, or Ma'at Nisha Bashanim? Ask the Gemara, Ve'im Hachikama, maybe this is what the Pasuk is saying. Heichad Ovid Treyu Poshle Dalid. There's 6 years that he sold for, where he already worked 2 years and there's 4 years left, which that would mean Rabbis Bashanim, there's more years left, a lot of years left. Then what the Pasuk is just saying, Nesiv Le Dalid Mekesta Meknasa. So he got to pay up 4 years of value, which is left from the price that he had paid. Ovid Dalid Poshle Tarti. Now the second Pasuk is saying, let's say he worked already 4 years and there's only 2 years left, which that's Ma'at Nisha Bashanim. Then Nesiv Tarti Kefishanim. Then you give 2 years left according to how much is left. Because we use the amount of what's smaller to calculate based on the ratio. But maybe the Pasuk's not talking about, like you were saying, about when he goes up in value or goes lower in value. How are you proving from these Pesukim, this halacha of the leniency interpretation regarding how much he pays out when his value goes up or down? So the Rav Nachman Yitzchak answers, no. Im Kain, if it was the way you're proposing, then Nichtev Kra, then the Pasuk should have said, Im Oid Rabbis Shanim, if there's a lot of years left. Or like the next pasuk, im ma'at nisher shanim, if there's a few years left. My bashanim, what's the base? What does it mean that rabbis bashanim, that there's a lot in the years? Rather, says Rav Nachman Yitzchak, nisraba kaspay bashanim, if his value went up in the years, then it's like we said, mikesa miknasa, then it's according to the lower value, which was how he was purchased. Nismayit kaspay bashanim, if his value went down in the years, then it's kefishanav. Then it's according to his years that has left, which again is, as we said before, the time the Brice has said, is the more lenient interpretation both ways for the Eved when it comes to redeeming himself. So Amar Yosef, Yosef commented, he says, Darshin Rav Nachman Yitzchak Lahani Kroi Kesinai. Rav Nachman Yitzchak expounded these psukim like it was given at Sinai. It was so clear, so obvious the way he interpreted that that's correct, and that's the source for the time of the Brice to say why there's a lenient interpretation for the Eved Ivri either way, whether his value went up or went down. Now the Gemara continues with the next topic, which will come back in relation to this topic that we're discussing over here. First, it brings a simon and a mnemonic to remember the next two main topics, which are regarding Eved, a slave, and a bayis, and a house, regarding what's called chatzoi, if you could redeem it halfway, and bayis, regarding a house, and the Eved and the slave, regarding kerovim, if the redemption could be through relatives. So the Gemara says, Boi minei Rav Huna bar chininam Rav Sheshi. Ask the following question. Eved ivri hanimka lo evik achavim, regarding a Jewish slave that sold to a non-Jew, nigel lachatzoin, could he be redeemed halfway? In other words, if let's say he only has half the amount of money that he needs to redeem himself, could he give that amount to the non-Jew right now and then automatically half of it's cut off and he only has the other half to still work? Or maybe he totally cannot redeem himself halfway. only if he has exactly the amount to redeem himself. But if not, you can't just start cutting away, chipping away. If you have the whole amount, you could redeem yourself, but you can't do it halfway. What's the halacha? So on that, the Gemara explains the question. Do we say that it says the term gulasa, his redemption, by the Eved Ibri sold to a non-Jew? It also says the term gulasa, his redemption, by a steachuza, by an ancestral field. Now, ma steachuza, just like by ancestral field, einu nigel lechatzoyin, it cannot be redeemed halfway, where the pasuk says, umatza kedei gulasa. If he finds exactly, the word kedei is exactly the amount sufficient for his redemption, which tells us not halfway. Now, whereas over here by the Eved Ivri, it says Yashav Gulasa, he is back his redemption. It doesn't say Kedei. So the question is, but do we learn out of Gzeir Shavu Gulasa, Gulasa from Steachuza, which just like there you can't do it halfway here also? And therefore, Af Hai Nami Ein Nigel Achatzon, also over here we're going to see you can't redeem it halfway. Or maybe, says the Gemara, L'kul Amrin, maybe we will make the Gzeir Shavu only as a leniency. And that is because, as we'll shortly see in the Gemara, redeeming halfway has a leniency and a stringency. Now, maybe, says the Gemara, when it's a leniency, then we say that it's a redemption halfway. But where it's a stringency, then maybe luchum alayim, meaning maybe as a stringency we say that it wasn't redeemed halfway. Because, as the pasuk tells us, we said, and this was related to the previous discussion the Gemara had, when he went up in value or went down in value, we said that the interpretation is as a leniency. Even though, does it go according to what was originally or what comes up? We said, well, it depends. We'll say it either way as a leniency. So therefore, the Gemara is asking, even if there is the Gezeirah Shavah, maybe we only say it as a leniency and not as a stringency, or maybe we even say it in totally, even as a stringency, that there can never be Gula Chatzayin. What's the halacha? So Amalei, sort of Sheshes responded, he says, look, Lav Amras Hasam, didn't you say over there, which is a reference to the Gemara in the Yud Chesem and Aleph, that spoke about if, let's say, someone stole something worth 500. Now, his value for a slave, which is when Machur Bezdin, when they sell him because he doesn't have money to pay up, is worth 1,000. So we said, according to everybody, he's not sold. Why? Because Nimka, when it says that he sold as a slave, is Kulai. You could only sell the whole person for the amount of 6 years. B'lei Chetzi, you can't sell half of him because he only has to pay up 500, but he's worth 1,000, so then he's not sold. So says Rav Sheshes, Sahachinami. So therefore, the same thing applies also over here, where the pasuk in Birkat Chafei says, "Oy hisiga yaday," or if he ends up getting money, this Eved Ivri, and nigal, and therefore he could redeem himself. That's also cool. It's only if you have the full amount and not half. If you have only half, just like by the halacha by Steachuz, you can't redeem halfway. Here also by the Eved Ivri that sold to a non-Jew, he can't redeem himself halfway. Now, Amabaya. Expounds and he explains, which was what we had mentioned before. He says, "Im tim tzaloy min nigel lachatzayna." If you were to say, Rav Sheshes is saying that he can't be redeemed halfway, but Baya says that if he were to say that nigel lachatzayin, that he could be redeemed halfway, mishkachas la lekula, it has an element of leniency to it. In other words, this that he can redeem him halfway is a benefit for the slave. And yet, it also turns out to be ulachumra. It also ends up being a stringency, meaning something bad for the Eved Ivri. How so? So the Gemara explains, Lakula, it's a leniency for the Eved Ivri. In the following case, if Zavnei b'meya, if the non-Jew purchased him for a mana, now Yoivlei, now after this, the Eved gave to the non-Jewish master of his, Chamshin, he gave him 50, which is Palgad d'mei, half of his value, meaning half of his redemption money. The Ashbach become almas, and then after that, actually the Eved Ivri's price went up in value, and he ended up being worth 200. So explains Abaya, I amrit nigel lechatzoyin. If you say this halacha of being redeemed halfway, that it's going to be a geula, it's considered that you redeemed at least half of you. Now, when this Eved Ivri goes up in price, at least half of him was not in the master's domain when he went up in price. Only half of him, because half of himself he already redeemed out already. Now, if now after going up in price, he would want to conclude his redemption, Yovle Meya Benafik, he would give only 100 and leave. Because although now he's worth 200 and he would have to pay himself out, but he already gave half of a half. Meaning, half of himself he already redeemed. When he was worth just 100, he paid up half, he gave 50. So he already half is redeemed. Now that he goes up in value to 200, he only has half to pay of that, he only has to pay 100. But if you say that a person cannot redeem himself halfway, And therefore, when he goes up in price, even though he really gave him money, that wasn't considered like you redeemed any part of yourself. So when you went up in price, all of it was in the domain of the master. Yovli meyev v'cham sheben nafik. You're going to have to give 150 to get out. Because, yeah, you're worth 200. Now, you had originally given 50, but that 50 was just like a deposit. He's just holding on to it. You didn't redeem half of yourself. When you went up to 200, all of that was what you're owned to, by the master. Now, if you want to buy yourself out, you got to give the whole 200. Now, 50 you already gave, but you got to give 150. Whereas if you say that it's iznig l'chatzon, you already paid half. You're only owned halfway by the master. When it went up to 200, it's really only 100 because half you already gave. And therefore, it's a difference of 100 versus 150, which would be a leniency if you say nigel chatzayin. Now, in this case conceptualization of Abaya, that this would be the case of the leniency, the Gemara asks, how can you say this? Va'amrit nisra b'kaspa, you just said in the previous Gemara's drasha from the Brayson Amad Aleph, that if the value of the Eved goes up, it's mikesef miknasai, that you actually, that when he goes up in price, you only calculate according to his lower original price. The case you just described, that it's going to be a leniency only if it's nigel l'chatzayin, is if he goes up in price. Going in price is not relevant. You don't pay according to the higher price. It's always according to the original price. So what's the difference if he's nigel l'chatzayin or not? It's always going to be calculated according to the original price. So rather, the Gemara says a different case. Kugain de eker v'zal v'eker. You're right. The case has to be talking about where he was a high price, went down, and then went back high again. In other words, he purchased him for 200. Then he went down the price, and he was only worth a mana. Now, at that point in time, he calculated according to the years that he has left. He wanted to redeem himself, and at that point, he was only worth 100. So he gave him 50, gave half. Now, he didn't get a chance to conclude his redemption until he already went back up in price and ended up being by 200. Oh, so then it's going to be a leniency because if you go according to the original price, it will be 200. And the yen is also 200. But since at the time you had the years left, you were worth 100, that's also, we go according to that leniency. So if you say that you could be goyel l'chatzayin, that's going to be a leniency because that point when you had gone down in price, you already paid up half. Now that you're going back to 200, you're only going to have to give 100, not the 150, which would be the case if you're not negel l'chatzayin. Because the lenient situation was in the middle, which would only apply if what he had given them was redemption money and not just deposit money. So since we would say nigel ratzayin, that would be a kula. And moreover, says Abaye, meshkachas l'alachumra, this halacha of being nigel ratzayin, which again, Rav Sheshes doesn't hold of such halacha, but says Abaye, if there was that halacha, it could also be a stringency. How so? In the following case, Zavni b'masan, he purchased him for 200. Now, yov meya palgad adami, let's say, so this Eved every wants to get out of this slavery. He says this is not what it's all, you know, cooked up to be. So he says, look, I got 100. He gives him half of it. He gives him 100. Then the ichsif v'kam ameya. After he gave him 100, his value actually went down and it was only worth 100. Says Abaya, I amrit nigel l'chatzayin. If you say that a slave could redeem himself halfway, now yov lecham shemenafik, he would have to give him 50 and then leave. Because what happened is that he went down the value, but that he had only went after he paid, when he paid already 100. Now, when he's down to a value of 100, so you paid up half. So you got to give half of 100 now, which is going to be 50. But if you say that there's no halfway redemption, that means to say when he had originally given 100 from the original 200. So when the master got that, it wasn't redemption money. Now that he went down the price, actually that whole entire 100 that he had given to the master to redeem himself, that 100 was just a deposit. So he could just say, keep that 100, and I'm leaving. I don't have to give you even 50. Because I went down the price, and we said the leniency is either one. So now that I'm only worth 100, I got to pay 100. And that 100 I gave you is the deposit money. It wasn't the redemption money. And therefore, I would actually be a stringency if you say nigel l'chatzayin. Because if you say nigel l'chatzayin, when he was worth 200 and he gave 100, so he redeemed only halfway, because it's a halfway redemption. Now they went down the price after that to 100. Okay, so half of you was already redeemed, so you only got to give a half 100, you have to give 50. But you're going to have to pay 50. But if you say that's not nigel l'chatzayin, now they went down to 100, so that 100, keep it, and I'm out. So that's what Abai explains, comes out if you say nigel l'chatzayin as a kula or a chumra. Continuing on the related discussion regarding nigel l'chatzayin, so that was the discussion regarding Eved Ivri, which we said, according to Rav Sheshes, he cannot be redeemed halfway. Now the Gemara says, "Bayim ne Ravunim bar Chinam Rav Sheshes, ha'moicher bayis bebati arichayma." Someone sells a house in the walled city, which the halacha, as it's brought in the Torah, is that it could only be redeemed by the owner up until a year. Once a year goes by, you can't redeem it anymore. The purchaser holds onto it forever. So the question is, nigal hachatzoin, could it be redeemed halfway? In other words, if he gives him half, which means to say that this guy sold his house, and he's like, oh, I'm without a house, I love that house, I love that town. So he gives him half the money to buy back his house, which he's allowed to within the first year. Could he redeem it halfway? Or could he not buy it back halfway? You got all the money, you could buy it back. Half? No. What's the halacha? So the Gemara explains the question. Do we say gulasa? It says yamim tia gulasa. That for days, meaning for 1 year, he could redeem his bayis in the walled city. And it also says the word gulasa, misti achuza, by an ancestral field. And gamar, we would learn it out from gzereshava to tell you masti achuza, just like by an ancestral field, ainin nigelis lechatzah, and you can't redeem it halfway. Avhai name ein nigel chatzon. So therefore, here also by bati arichayma, you also can't buy it back halfway. Oidimo, or maybe a little different than how we posed the question by learning out Evet Ivri from Steachuza. Here the question is posed as, because there we said maybe we'll say it only as a leniency, not as a stringency, because we had that precedence already from Evet Ivri, where we saw the interpretation in the Pesukim was as a leniency and not as a stringency. Here the question is a little bit different, is that maybe Heichad de Gully, where the Torah tells you, like it says by Steachuz, it says the word Kedegulasai, which tells you that it has to be, you have to have reached exactly the amount sufficient for the full redemption. There is Gali, so there the Torah tells you it has to be all of it. But Heichad de Loi Gali, where the Torah does not write the word Kedei, that it's sufficient for the redemption, then Loi Gali didn't reveal that, and therefore you wouldn't have to bring all of the money, and you could redeem it halfway, and maybe Bati Arachayma, you could do Nigel Lechatzayin. So Amalei, Rav Sheshes responded, he said, Mimidrashe shel Reb Shimon Nishma, from the expositions, from the drasha of Reb Shimon, you could infer, where Reb Shimon says, regarding the following halacha, you'll see that, A, if a person doesn't have money, Shaloiva V'goyel, that he could borrow money and redeem his Bati Arachayma, his house in the walled city, which is not the case by a Steachuza, by an ancestral field, the Torah tells us, V'siga Yadai, he himself has to have gotten that money, but if he has to borrow it, he cannot redeem it. And V'goyel Lechatzayin, says Rav Sheshes, you'll also learn from Rishimah to answer your question, that you could redeem a Bias Arachayma halfway. How do I see this? The Tanya, like, learn the Braisa. The Pasuk in Yikra says, and this is regarding someone that's Makdish his Steachuza, he sanctifies, he gives over to Hekdish, to the Beis HaMikdash, to Hashem, his ancestral field. So the Pasuk says over there, Im goyel yugoyel, if he will surely redeem. Now what's this extra word yugoyel? What's this redundancy? So that's a ribuy, it's including more. Milamet shalava v'goyel v'goyel l'chatzan. What the Pasuk is teaching you regarding when you're makdash esteachuzah, is that you could borrow and redeem it from Hekdash, and you could also redeem it halfway. Now, Amr B'Shimon, Matam, Reb Shimon says, what's the reason of this halacha? Now, as Rashi brings, Reb Shimon always expounds the reasonings of the Psukim, as we find in Masechet Bava Metzia, on Kuf Tes Vav Med Aleph. So here also, he gives reasons for the Pasuk. In other words, he says, we find that the Torah was particular, that we should not want a person's steachuza, his ancestral field, to be removed from the inheritors. We wanted to maintain it the way it was given by the forefathers when they split it up, when they came to Eretz Canaan. We wanted to stay in the family. So, therefore, says Reb Shimon as follows. Lafisha mitzinu b'meicher steachuza sheyupa koicha. We find when someone sells, there's two things we're discussing, being makdash steachuza and selling steachuza. So, as we mentioned before, we were talking about selling steachuza, so he says as follows. He says, we find by someone that sells an ancestral field to someone else, where he has a strong power, in other words, where his inheritance does not get removed from him. In other words, shemegia yevul b'lein nigala. The halacha is when you sell an ancestral field to another person, once the year of yevul comes around and it wasn't redeemed, chezeres l'balei b'yevul goes back to the owners by the yevul year. Now, therefore, the Torah wasn't so concerned to give him more strength to be able to buy it back, which is to go ahead and to borrow money and to be able to redeem it halfway, and therefore hayra koichai. That's why he has a more deficient Kayach, which is what we were mentioning earlier when we said it says gulasa by steachuza, which is reference to when someone sells a steachuza, she'ein alayv v'goyel lechatzan. He cannot borrow and redeem his field back from the one who purchased from him. He cannot go ahead and redeem it halfway. And the reason for that is, and Reb Shimon's explaining the reasonings of the Pesukim, is because, look, it's going to stay in the family anyway. When Yovel comes around, since you sold it to someone else, it'll come back. So we don't have to give you more tools to be able to get it back, which would define leniency for you to be able to borrow to buy it back or to get do it halfway. We don't do that. Now, says Reb Shimon, but makdish, shahay rekaychay, but regarding when someone's makdish is teachuzah, where actually he has a weaker kayach, meaning it's very easier for him to lose his nachla, his inheritance. Why? Because regarding when you makdish is teachuzah, the halacha is, shemegiyah yevavulay nigala, if the yevul year comes around and he had not redeemed it from hekdish, yoytzel kahana b'yevul. It doesn't come back to the family. It goes to the Kohanim and they split up the field. As the Pasuk says in Yikach of Zayin, it says, when the field's going to go out in the Yevil year, Kodesh v'Gomer, it says over there that's going to be split up for the Kohanim. So therefore says Reb Shimon, that's the understanding of this halacha, that you put Kaychai. That's why in the initial stages of trying to be redeeming it himself to buy it back, the Torah gives him more strength, that Shalava v'Goyel v'Goyel l'chatzan, that he could borrow and redeem, and that he could redeem it halfway. In other words, this pasuk of Goel Yigoel says Reb Shimon, why is it that we have this drasha to include that he could borrow and redeem, and that he could redeem halfway? Is because we want to make sure it stays in the family. So we got to give you some strength somewhere. So by selling, we don't give you these leniencies because it's going to come back to you. By makdish, where it's not going to come back to you. So therefore, there we give you the strength, and we allow you to borrow and redeem it, and we also let you do it halfway. That's what Reb Shimon says. Now, says Rav Sheshesh, from this halacha, from this drasha of Reb Shimon, is where we could learn the answer to your question, like I told you, regarding someone that it wants to buy back his bias arichayma, that you could do it halfway, which answers your question, and you could even borrow and buy it back. Why? Because he says, "Hai meicher bias b'bati arichayma nami." The same thing applies to the case we're discussing of when someone sells his house in the walled city. He also has a weaker hand. Because she'im malalei shana tamima v'loy nigala, once a year passes, which is only halacha unique to a house in a walled city, and he didn't redeem it, nechlet, it's forever going to be by the purchaser. It doesn't come back to the seller by the yevul year. That's unique over there. So he has a very poor lot in being able to get it back. So yupo koichei says Rav Sheshesh, what you could infer from the way Rav Sheshesh had interpreted the halacha of makdish de'achuza. So we would say the same thing over here. So therefore we have to give him a stronger strength, shalava v'goyel, v'goyel l'chatzayin, that he could borrow and redeem, and he could redeem it halfway. You could infer from Reb Shimon's halacha that would be the same inverse relationship. When you have weaker one way, you got to give you more strength somewhere else. So b'atei arachem, we have weaker in regard to redeeming it in the beginning, so we give you stronger in regards to another element, which is regarding doing it halfway, which was the question posed to him, and you could even borrow and redeem. That was Rav Sheshesh's answer. Now, that the Gemara says, Eisvei, they asked to Rav Sheshesh from the following Braisa. Now, the primary question is going to be from the Seifa of the Braisa, which is when the Braisa says, oh, that selling a house in a walled city will prove that you cannot borrow and redeem halfway, which clearly contradicts Rav Sheshesh's answer. So first, the Gemara brings the beginning of the Braisa. It says a pasuk in the Yikra, it says that if im goyel yigoyel, that if surely he will redeem, as the pasuk there says in Perek of Zion, pasuk it says, Es Hasada, the field, Hamakdish Eisa, the one that was sanctified it, which is this halacha that we're discussing, meaning being Makdish, Steachuza. Says the Braisa, Malamed, what this teaches is, as we mentioned in the previous Braisa, this halacha of Imgol Yigoel, Shalava Vagoyel Vagoyel Lechatzayim, that when someone was Makdish, Steachuza, he could borrow and redeem, he could also redeem it halfway. Now says the Braisa, Sheyachal, now because you would have thought to say, Vahaloy Dinu, that it's actually Kavachemer, that would not be the case. Why? Says the Braisa, Umam Meicher Steachuza, regarding when someone sells an ancestral field, which is in contrast to, let's say, what's called a Ste Mikna, a field that you purchased. Here we're talking about an ancestral field, your father had it, who his father had it, going all the way back. So there's a contrast between what this Pasuk is talking about, when you were Makdish Steachuza, and when you sell a Steachuza. So says the Tana of this Braisa, you would have thought to say, if when you sell an ancestral field, Sheyupa Koichai, where there's a lot of strength to the seller, because shemegiya yevul v'loy nigala, when once the yevul year comes around, and even if it didn't redeem it, chayzeres lebaleh b'yevul, it still goes back to the owner by the yevul year, and yet still hayre kaychay, as we said before, he has a weaker hand, she'ein loyv v'goyel b'goyel l'chatzoyin, he can't redeem it halfway, he can't borrow and redeem. So I would have thought to say, so makdish, shahayre kaychay, so when someone is makdish is de'achuzah, where he has a weaker hand than the seller, She'emegiyu yevul le'nigula, because when the yevul year comes out and he didn't redeem it, yitzel kalim be'yevul, it goes to kalim, it doesn't even come back to him. Ein adin she'ever kreiches, isn't it a kavol chayma that for sure he should have the weaker hand, she'ein leiv of a goyel v'goyel l'chatzon, that he should not be able to borrow and redeem, and he shouldn't be able to redeem halfway? Because if the stronger one, the meicher, can't do these things, he is weaker in that area, so the weaker one for sure should be weak in this area. So therefore, says the Tana the Braisa, that's why we need to have a pasuk of imgul yigul to tell you that you could go ahead, even by the case of Makdish, and redeem it halfway and borrow and redeem. Now, however, the Braisa says, mala meicher ste achuza. Now, if that's the reason why you needed to have a kavuch, the pasuk, is that, but how can you say that? When you're selling an ancestral field, shekein hayra koich ligol miyat, there is a weaker hand regarding the seller versus the makdish. What case is that? Regarding being able to redeem it immediately. Because there's a halacha when you sell an ancestral field that you have to at least wait 2 years. It has to be maintained in the purchaser's domain for at least 2 years, because the pasuk says over there in Chafei, the mispersh ni tevuisi machalach, that according to the number of years of produce he has sold it to you, which tells us it has the minimum of plural is two, that a sale of a field can't be less than 2 years from day to day. Now, afterwards, after the 2 years, then you can redeem it according to this Geroin Kesef, prorating it, like the pasuk there says over there, Lefi Roi Vashalim, according to the years I left, it says, V'chisha V'shneimim Kari, then you calculate the years of the sale, which again, as we explained, you calculate how many years was it from when it was purchased until the Yevul year, which was when it was going to end up going back to the owner anyway. So let's say it was 20 years. So that's the value of 20 mana for 20 years. So that comes out that every year was for a value of a mana. So that's how you prorate accordingly to how much time it comes out according to the redemption. Now, so therefore, that's something which you can't buy it back. You have to wait 2 years. Time of a makdish, why would you say that makdish would be worse off? Actually, shiyupakoich legol miyad. By hekdish, you could buy it back right away. So then the question actually is, so why do you need a pasuk? Why would I think from a kavo chaymer that being makdish should be worse than meicher? And just like meicher, you can't do it halfway and borrow, so too by makdish, not true. Meicher is worse off because you can't redeem right away in contrast to hekdish. So now the Braisa says back, no. Meicher bais bebati arachaym yechich. Because selling a house in the walled city will disprove this, and because sheyipakoich legal miyad, it has the one strength that hektish has, where just like by hektish you can redeem it right away, so too when you sell a house in the walled city you can redeem it right away, and still ve'ein leiv of a goyel v'goyel lechatzoyin, and still you cannot borrow and redeem, you cannot redeem it halfway, so therefore that puts makdish de'achuzah back down again. The only reason why we thought that it would be better than Meicher Ste Achuza is because it has the ability to redeem right away. So maybe it could be Nigel HaChatzon. Then we said, no, you can't say that's a reason to be Nigel HaChatzon, because Meicher Bais Bat Erechem has that same mila, that same benefit, and yet it cannot borrow halfway, and it cannot be, you can't borrow to redeem. So therefore, that's why, again, the Tana Braisa said that you needed Imgol Yigol to say that by Makdash De'achuz, you could redeem it halfway and borrow money to redeem it, because, or else you would have said from Kavo Chaymer, from both the combination of Bais Arachayma and selling a De'achuz, that for sure you wouldn't be able to redeem it halfway and to borrow money and redeem. That's what the Braisa says. Now, but what is difficult from this Braisa is clearly contradicting Rav Sheshes. The Braisa says clearly that you see when you sell a Bais Arachayma, that you cannot borrow and redeem, and you cannot redeem halfway. Yet Rav Sheshes had answered, and he said that I could tell you if you look at Rav Shimon's drasha, you'll realize based on time of the krah that, oh, just like the halacha is that inversely related, that when you have a deficiency in one area, we got to empower you in another area. Oh, so therefore said Rav Sheshes, I could answer your question that about the Erechaima, where you have a weakness that after the year you can't buy back anymore. Oh, so we got to strengthen you, and therefore for sure you could borrow and redeem it halfway. But the Braisa says clearly you cannot. So that thing where it says loy kasha. It's not a contradiction to Rav Sheshes, because as we continue at Tabach Chafalav Men Alef, ha, this Braisa that we just quoted is Rabbanon. Goes like the Rabbanon, which one can clearly see when you read the Braisa, where they don't interpret the reasonings of the Psukim. They say that where you have Hoira Koicha, where you have a weaker hand in one area, it makes sense that you would have a weaker hand in another area. Except for like the Tana the Braisa teaches, that where the Pasuk clearly reveals, like by Makdash De'achuzah, where it says, go, you go, where it's saying, okay, even though you have a weaker hand, where normally we'd say for sure you're going to have a weaker hand than Meiches De'achuzah, and you couldn't do it halfway, okay, the pasuk is telling you you could redeem it halfway. But by Bati Arachaima, they do learn out gulasa gulasa from Ste'achuza, which says that you can't redeem it halfway. And that's why you're right. That time that the Brisa says you cannot redeem it halfway. But this that Rav Sheshes had told you, that when you sold in the Bais Arachaima, that you could borrow and redeem, and you could redeem halfway, that was going, as he said himself, according to Rav Shimon, who gave reasonings for the Psukim, and he explained by just like you see, regarding Meichers De'achuzah and Makdish De'achuzah, where by Makdish you have the weaker hand regarding after the Yevil year, it doesn't come back to you. That's why you have the stronger hand in the beginning to redeem it, that even halfway, and to borrow, so too said Rav Sheshes. According to Rav Shimon, of course, that would be the halacha, not like this Brisa. He would hold that since you have the weaker hand at the end, after the year, you're never getting it back, so for sure, there you should be able to be Nigel of Atzayin and to be Lava Vergoyal. Now, so too, the Gemara just points out the Tanichad that we learned in one Brisa. If someone sells a house in Bati Erechaima, it says, Laiva v'goyel v'goyel achatzayin. You could borrow and redeem, and you could redeem halfway. Yet, v'tanya idach, we learn in another Brisa, it says, Ein laiva v'goyel v'goyel achatzayin. You cannot borrow and redeem, and to redeem halfway. The Gemara says very simply, lo kasha, it's not a difficulty, as the Gemara just explained. Harabbanan, Harab Shimon. The second Brisa that says you cannot redeem halfway, and you cannot redeem, borrow and redeem, that's like the Rabbanan who we mentioned in the second Brisa, who say that you cannot. But HaRab Shimon, the first Brisa, was going like Rab Shimon, who, again, that's who Rab Sheshes was answering the question to, who definitely Rab Shimon would hold, that you could borrow and redeem, and you could redeem halfway, again, because he's Derish time of the Krah, and based on that reasoning of the Psukim, the halacha would be, since Batei Rechaima is weak, in at the end, where it not even by Yevil, after the first year, it's never coming back to him again. So for sure, he has leniencies in the beginning because we want people to hold on to their ancestral houses, what he had in the Bati Rechaima, which would allow him to be love of a goyel and goyel achatzayim.